on how far we have come, what challenges we have faced on our way, and ask ourselves, what is the way forward to achieve the objectives that we set ourselves when we embarked on this journey? Ladies and gentlemen, we have reached one such point in our quest to achieve an equitable and fair remuneration system for public sector employees. It is therefore my pleasant duty to join you at this August event that gives us the opportunity to pause and reflect on the theme, Building National Consensus on the Sustainability of the Single Spine Pay Policy. Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, this is not the first time we have attempted to achieve a universal salary structure that attempts to reward public sector employees equitably and fairly. We all remember the rice water that failed to cook and was later abandoned. This current journey has not been without its challenges and difficulties. As we are all aware, we have implemented an important and bold national policy
challenges to us,
which has opened both opportunities and challenges to us.
I strongly believe that if we collectively conduct this review in good faith,
we can design effective homegrown strategies to overcome the current difficulties that we face with the SSPP. This forum, I believe, therefore, will give us an opportunity to deepen our relationship with our social partners towards achieving the stated policy objectives and overall goal of the single spine pay policy, which will inure to the benefit of all public service workers in Ghana, as well as the Ghanaian taxpayer. Ladies and gentlemen, government took the mantle of implementing the SSPP in 2010. This is a culmination of attempts that had been initiated earlier in the 1990s. The rationale for formulating the single spine pay policy was to resolve four important issues in public sector pay management in Ghana, namely, one, pay disparities that had emerged within the public services, rising costs of the public sector wage bill, large number of public sector pay negotiations, and linkage of pay to productivity. And thus, the overall objective has been to gradually remove distortions and inequities in public sector pay and to enable government manage the public service wage bill in a more effective and efficient manner. The implementation of the policy was designed to occur in a number of phases over a five-year period, 2010 to 2014, and it strategically involved, one, formulation of complementary policies and strategies to guide the SSPP implementation, two, designing the single spine pay salary structure and determining the base pay and pay point relativities through negotiations, three, migrating public service workers onto the SSSS, four, conducting periodic labor market surveys for the determination of the critical skills in short supply in public service by government, five, determining market premiums and inducements to attract and retain critical skills in the public service, six, harmonizing and rationalizing Category 2 and 3 allowances, seven, monetization of Category 4 allowances, and then finally linking pay to work and productivity. In my estimation, the one major missing factor that was not carefully thought out and considered was the implementation of the single spine pay policy within budgetary constraints to make the scheme sustainable. Mr. Chairman, distinguished ladies and gentlemen, government has succeeded largely in accomplishing the initial tasks of the single spine pay policy since its implementation began in 2010. In fact, available statistics indicate that over 99% of the target public service workers have been migrated onto the single spine salary structure,
covering 119 institutions and 479,486 public service workers. The migration over the last 3 years has led to an increase in income and enhanced standard of living of public service workers to a large extent. Also, the establishment of the Public Services Joint Standing Negotiating Committee has reduced the number of public service pay negotiations that used to be conducted earlier. Again, despite its now apparent high fiscal cost, the implementation of the single spine pay policy has helped government to gradually get a hold on the actual size of the public service workforce and the corresponding wage bill. These are all essential ingredients for a more effective national development planning in the medium and long term. Mr. Chairman, despite the gains so far achieved, the implementation of the single spine pay policy has been fraught with a number of challenges. And the major challenges include, one, the public perception of the SSPP as a general wage salary increase vehicle for public service workers and not rather as a tool for removing disparities and iniquities in the public service wage and salaries scheme. This misconception is largely due to pressure from some sections of the labor front and inadequate public sensitization and education on the single spine pay policy. Two, the satisfaction of some public service workers with their job evaluation and placement on the single spine salary structure. Three, award of broad-based and indiscriminate interim market premiums to some institutions without recourse to labor market surveys that will actually reveal critical skills that are in short supply in the public service. Four, demand for annual increases in base pay and pay point relativity that has impacted on increasing the public sector wage bill. Five, increasing labor agitations resulting from, one, demand for payment of conversion difference, two, demand for payment of market premiums and other allowances. And then six, implementation of single spine pay policy without linking pay to work and productivity. And finally, the impact of the single spine pay policy on government's overall wage bill due to lack of initial comprehensive estimates and fiscal pressures from the factors enumerated above. Mr. Chairman, notwithstanding these challenges, government has demonstrated its commitment to implement the SSPP to achieve the stated policy objectives and goals as stated in government's white paper on the single spine pay policy. To mitigate some of these challenges, government issued guidelines for the determination of market premium under the single spine pay policy in April this year. Some work has also been done on rationalization of Category 2 and 3 allowances with the active participation of the Public Services Joint Standing Negotiating Committee. I want to use this opportunity to express my profound gratitude and appreciation to organized labor and our social partners for their understanding, cooperation, and continuous support in the implementation of the single spine pay policy. I wish to urge you to work favorably in bringing the migration issue to closure this year so that we can move on to the other post-migration aspects of the single spine salary structure. Mr. Chairman, distinguished ladies and gentlemen, our main purpose of gathering here today is to build a national consensus on key challenges of the single spine pay policy that will enhance its sustainable implementation. I charge this forum to engage in a frank, non-partisan discussion to generate options and feasible strategies and build consensus on critical issues within the broader context of our national quest for accelerated economic development and to build a better Ghana. It should be clear that we have come far, and opting out of the single spine salary structure or cancelling the program is not an option for government. must be noted that prior to the introduction of the single spine pay policy, public employees covered under Article 190 of the 1992 Constitution had been operating on over 100 different salary structures. My comrade Asamoah put it at about 90. Our figure was more than 100. We're operating on over 100 different salary structures. Obviously, moving staff from these more than 100 salary schemes onto 125-grade single-spine salary structure was not going to be an easy walk in the park. It is in this context that the outcome from this forum must address the sustainability of the single-spine salary scheme. Must address the sustainability of the single-spine salary scheme. It is important that the core migration is completed this year, as I said, so that we can focus on post-migration issues. Let me emphasize that the cornerstone of any work and happiness regime is to link pay to work and productivity. In this regard, government has charged the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission and the Management Development and Productivity Institute to collaborate with the Ghana Statistical Services and other key stakeholders to undertake a labor market survey for the effective implementation of the market premium component of the single spine pay policy, and to formulate strategies to link remuneration to work and productivity in the Ghana public service. As a first step, the labor market survey shall be conducted in the health and education sectors by October this year, 2013. The results of this survey will inform the preparation of the 2014 national budget estimates. It is important to indicate that a work and happiness regime also enjoins the employer to reward for only work done and not for work not done. It also gives the employer the prerogative to determine which skills are critical and in short supply and the parameters that drive productivity for payment of the appropriate remuneration. I am also aware that the Ministry of Employment and Labour Relations will establish this year a Public Service Productivity Committee to determine the main drivers of productivity in the public service. Once the policy on Ghana Public Service Pay Policy is approved by Cabinet, the Public Service Productivity Committee shall work closely with the skills development institutions of the Ministry of Employment and Labour Relations and recommend to government parameters and strategies for improving labour and other forms of productivity in the public service. I want to assure Ghanaians that government is determined to remove distortions and inequities in public service pay and establish the principle of equal pay for work of equal value. We must collectively appreciate that fairness in public service pay management can be achieved through linking public service pay to work and productivity. It is only through this that we can achieve the objectives of equity in the management of the single spine pay policy and equitably reward the contributions of workers to our national development. Mr. Chairman, one major challenge facing us as a nation is the imbalance caused largely by the rising public sector wage bill. Indeed, last year we reached the peak of this phenomenon when, inclusive of arrears, nearly 70% of tax revenue collected was used for the payment of compensation to public service workers. Comrade has asked us to interrogate these figures. We will. The implication of this is that after paying wages and salaries, government is often left with very little financial resources for other pressing national commitments, such as maintenance and running of offices, goods and services, and investment in infrastructure and development. Ladies and gentlemen, this state of affairs is not sustainable. In this respect, I have directed the Minister of Finance, when he speaks at this forum, to share with you the size of the wage bill in relation to total national tax revenues over the years. And here I dare say we must be guided by Aesop's fable on the goose that laid the golden eggs. Let us not, in our inordinate desire for more of our own golden eggs, kill the goose that lays these eggs. I've also directed the Minister for Finance and the Minister for Employment and Labor Relations to work with the Tripartite Committee and the Permanent Standing Joint Negotiating Committee on a revised agenda that will ensure that public sector wages are negotiated before we read the budget. Mr. Chairman, distinguished ladies and gentlemen, you are aware of the challenges we have had with some of our public service institutions on the issue of market premium. Fortunately, as I said, government has come up with a white paper on the guidelines for the determination of market premium, properly known in the public service. I urge the forum to discuss the guidelines and build consensus on modalities that will enhance its implementation, with focus on the prerequisite conditions, qualifications, and determination of market premium, conversion difference, and Category 2, 3, and 4 allowances. Another flashpoint in pay distortion has been the case of Article 71 office holders. Another flashpoint in pay distortion has been the case of different salary schemes prescribed for Article 71 office holders. I am pleased that this issue was flagged in the Constitutional Review Commission's work, and it is my hope that the CRC Implementation Committee will speed up work on amendment of the Constitution for the setting up of an independent emoluments commission to cover all matters of pay administration involving all public sector workers. It is my desire that I probably will be the last president to set up any such committee for Article 71. I hope I will not have to set up a committee for Article 71 if the Constitution is amended. I hope that at the end of this forum, you all come out with more effective strategies to enhance the implementation of the single spine pay policy over time. You must discuss the issues within the broader domain of sustainability and the capacity of our economy and the competing and alternative uses of our national revenues. You must also, I urge you, discuss the issues in the interest of our national pursuit of macroeconomic stability, growth, and development. Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, there is no doubt that the implementation of the single spine pay policy has been fraught with a number of labor agitations arising out of disputes mainly on the educational and health sector fronts. These are also the employers, academia, civil society organizations, security services, think tanks. I have absolutely no doubt that the deliberations here will be dispassionate, objective, and will be fruitful, and that at the end of the day, we would leave here with a consensus on how to nurture our young single spine pay policy to be a model that in future will attract others to come and see how Ghana did it.